You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is First Move with The Fuse, and on the line, we've got Harry Lilly from First Move. Kia ora, Harry. How are you this morning?
Kia ora. I'm good, thank you, Rachel. How are you doing?
Good. It's lovely to chat with you ahead of a very special gig that's happening this coming weekend. You're going to be heading up to Tamaki Makaurau to play some tunes for us, also bringing Fowler with you, and you've both got new singles on the horizon, which is what you're going to be celebrating. Tell us a wee bit about what First Move has been getting up to. It sounds like you've had a productive time working on an album.
Yeah, you could say productive. It's kind of a matter of perspective, I guess. on my notes, I've got sprawling and
nice.
Taking our time.
Excellent.
Written down, but we've just been trying to write some new music. And when I say that, it sort of made me think it's been probably 2 years of us sort of doing stuff in the background, making a whole bunch of new stuff, and I think we're kind of getting to the point where we're pretty happy with what we've got.
Yes.
Reasonably happy, and we're really keen to start sharing some of that. So we've played a bunch of it live, but even then there's more stuff that we've just been working on, and I think the time's kind of right. So the new single we're putting out is kind of one of those pieces where it's not really found a home anywhere else. It just kind of had to be a recording.
Yeah.
It's quite exciting to us, I guess, so that's kind of why we're doing it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, I've always loved the sound that you guys make. It's got a particular sort of New Zealand gothic energy to it, which, you know, is something
Thanks.
That we hear about in the canon of, I guess, alternative New Zealand music often. But it is something that I think has really fitted the last few years quite well. When The Fuse came out, it did feel somewhat fitting for the world kind of blowing up in its own new way.
Yeah.
How do you guys write? What's the process for for coming up with a track for First Move?
I guess, like, quite often it's pretty similar story to everyone else. Like, we'll write some stuff, we'll bring it into a space where we work on it together.
Yeah.
It's had to adapt. Like, the fuse was done entirely just over, like, Messenger.
True.
And just flicking stuff back to each other because we couldn't get together. More recently, we've been quite lucky. We've been able to spend some pretty extended periods hanging out together in the same room playing music, and I think there's nothing better than that. So
totally.
Sometimes, you know, we just figure stuff out because we're all hanging out and playing it together. But a lot of the time, it'll be taken away, and we'll do stuff kind of introspectively on it. I spend a lot of time sitting around with a notebook and trying to make stuff and rework it, and you know, 100 phone memos and bits of tape and bits of Pro Tools demos and stuff. Later, we end up with something that we quite like. But I think we've kind of leaned a lot into the process of enjoying making stuff and then seeing what comes up, rather than being so hung up on trying to make a thing
release
it and be on a schedule. And so that's been, I think that's been what's making us tick a bit lately, which is kind of fun.
That's cool. That's interesting as well, because when I listen to your music, it does feel like there's quite like a established through line or a sense of maybe politics that pulls your sound together. But it's interesting to hear that maybe that's not the way you're trying to write at the moment, or maybe not the first part of the writing process for you. What do you sort of, I guess, take inspiration from, Harry, when you are writing your lyrics? Because they do have quite an interesting quality, and they do sort of seem to point at big social stuff that's going on, and sometimes quite an abstract way, and sometimes a sort of direct way too.
I think, we can't avoid but be affected by all the stuff that's going on around us. I mean, Jonathan, who wrote quite a lot of the lyrics for The Fuse, as a start point, he's a journalist, and so he just spends all day absorbing like the despair of the world. I don't really know how to put it in like a more poetic, like, nice way, but he hears a lot of really awful stuff and probably some really amazing, interesting stuff you'd never think of just through his job. And we sit around thinking about stuff and hearing stuff, and when it comes to writing things, I think that's the thing that's on our mind the most, is all that kind of stuff. So we can't help but kind of reflect what's going on around us and what we care about. It's not like we've gone out to try and, like, actively write something that says, this thing's stuffed, or, this is the way the world should work. It's just something that we feel like we have to...
Yeah.
That's something that we've got to talk about. So, I don't know, like, by equal token, I think we've tried more recently to explore other topics. Or, like, come at it from a broader sort of palette of topics, rather than just be, what's the main thing that's annoying us right now? And not write it as like a 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of song. Try and write it as more of try and, like, approach it as a piece of music first, rather than as like it's got to be a single or it's got to be this. And
Totally.
Let that kind of guide us through the process. I'm not sure if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It does. It's an interesting way of thinking about it as well, letting it be its own thing rather than having to exist in, like, I guess, an established format of releasing music or consuming music. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of tension tied up with that process too, which is part of how we end up at the end result. Like, if you don't have a very, very clear direction, like, we're going to write and release a single, then the process of writing the single can take so many forms or take so many... can take so many directions.
Yeah.
And then everyone can have so many different ideas about how that can form, so that, like, the way that all melts together is the kind of the most interesting part to me. And then you end up with something that's unpredictable, which is quite fun.
Yeah, totally.
It feels totally predictable to us now, to a certain extent, because we're used to working that way. But I think that's something we're keen to, like, continue working in that space more, rather than fall into the traps of, like, got to release something, got to make something, trying to be more interested in just the sounds and more interested in exploring what is, like, a really limited format of three musicians making stuff at the same time, and often having to make it live, because that's the main way we do stuff. So
yes, certainly a sound that really, I think, is made to be heard live. You can hear it in the recordings. There's a kind of crackly sort of energy to it, which I think is going to be very exciting to see in person. So it's you and Jonathan. Who's the third person in your group?
Fraser as well. So Fraser Williams, who also plays in Sports Dreams.
Nice.
Yeah, and does a bunch of electronic project-based stuff as well. But yeah, so the three of us have been doing that for quite a while now, I guess.
And I want to know about Fowler, because you're hitting the road with them, which means you must be mates. So tell us a wee bit about this band. How have you guys kind of come to know each other, and what's their vibe for folks who maybe haven't heard their tunes before, being in the different part of the North Island?
Yeah. I guess that's part of the reason why we're so keen to like go out and play some shows with them, because Fowler are Tommy, Katie, Jules and Pete. They've featured in some other really amazing bands in the past. I could name check them all. I'm going to miss a few, but there's Robin, Gaines. A lot of people remember Gaines from Camp Along Home Time. Soda Boys with Jules. And I'm going to miss other bands, but we've sort of played in the same circles for ages, and most of us were based in Palmerston North for a while. And this is kind of the thing that morphed out of them making a band while they've all lived down near the tip of the island in Wellington. And it's just kind of awesome. It's kind of like slowed down, heavy, angular guitar music. I've just used all the cliches to describe it. But I think it's awesome. They've put a lot of work in recording. So they've got some really amazing tunes that are going to come out before too long.
Awesome.
And they've played some really good live shows too. They haven't played heaps, but I think, you know, they're a band that if you haven't seen them, I haven't really heard anyone else that sounds like them.
That's cool.
Out there at the moment. And I love heavy guitar music.
Me
and
too.
Good vibes and good headbangy sort of stuff, but in the like slow nod your head kind of way, not like hurt my neck
yep,
kind of way.
Yep, totally. I know the feeling. This sounds like it's going to be a very cool evening. You've also got Tombs and Flogging a Dead One Horse Town, which I always find hard to say but really appreciate as a band name. They're going to be playing with you. This is all kicking off this weekend, Saturday the 27th of August at the Wine Cellar. And you've also picked us a Flogging a Dead One Horse Town song to play. This is a new one from them called Steve. Why Tombs and Flogging a Dead One Horse Town? Because they're great bands, but what is it about their sound that sort of, I guess, resonates with you guys, Harry?
I feel like they're on a similar wavelength. Like, you can tell that they're making music out of the pure need to make music rather than any of the hype, I guess. And that that always really cuts through to me. Like, someone who's making something so genuine, and whenever I've seen them play, you can just tell that it's something that they have to make. And they seem to get excited about similar stuff, like similar sounds and similar kind of energy. So I just guess it's that kind of thing that I wouldn't really want to play with other things that don't have that kind of energy.
Yeah.
And when you're booking your own show, you have the privilege of choosing some bands to put together on a lineup. And I think this is the kind of lineup that if I was going to turn up in Auckland and go to a wine cellar show,
this is what you want to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent.
So hopefully some of the locals will be quite interested in coming down and seeing. It's been quite a while since we've been up to Auckland.
It is.
I think 3 years or something. So
a whole pandemic's worth.
Yeah,
plenty
exactly.
to catch up on.
Just been hanging out heaps to come out, play some music, hang out with some people in the space, and a nice way to sort of launch off what we've been doing for the last few years and play some new music to people. So
fantastic. Well, Harry, thank you so much for chatting with us this morning about First Move and Fowler's dual single release tour that you're heading off on. We'll catch you this weekend at the Wine Cellar. If people want to get tickets for the Saturday show, Under the Radar is the place to go. We're going to listen to this Flogging a Dead One Horse Town track now. Thanks so much for speaking with us. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
This is Xena, and I'm telling you, you better be listening to 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.